a pool sending ripples across the surface. Out of the ripples appears the logo of HBO Pictures. This film is based on a true story. HBO Pictures presents a Price Entertainment production. A film by Robert Markowitz. Lawrence Fishburne. The Tuskegee Airmen. A field of long grass bleached yellow by the sun. Alan Payne. Malcolm Jamal Warner. Courtney Vance. Andre Brower. Chris McDonald. Daniel Hugh Kelly. Hannibal, a black boy of about 11, dressed in 1920s style clothes, lies in the long grass playing with a toy aeroplane. Mekki Pfeiffer, John Lithgow as Senator Conyers, and Cuba Gooding Jr. Hannibal looks up and spots a biplane swooping in low over the field. He grins and the plane tips its wings. Hannibal gets to his feet and holds his toy aeroplane up. The biplane swoops past and Hannibal starts running after it. Casting by Robbie Reed Hume, CSA. The plane flies low over the field. Music by Lee Holdridge. Now a young man, Hannibal is in his room.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt will address the nation. The president, speaking from the diplomatic reception room in the White House residence, will be delivering one of his familiar fireside chats and is expected to talk to the American people on the year-old war which began with the sneak attack by the Japanese in Hawaii on December 7th of last year. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, this war is a new kind of war. It is different from all other wars of the past, not only in its methods and weapons, but also in its geography. It is warfare in terms of every continent, every island, every sea, every air lane in the world.
Hannibal, the neighbors are waiting to say goodbye.
United States, the President.
Hannibal's mother comes up the stairs and looks in on him with a concerned expression. He looks somberly back at her, and she forces a smile. He closes the lid on a suitcase and goes over to his mother. They share a hug. Hannibal's father is waiting downstairs. He looks at a pocket watch. He turns round as Hannibal and his wife come down the stairs. Hannibal puts his suitcase down, and his father hands him the pocket watch on a chain. Father and son share a hug.
Hello, nice of you to come.
Some well-to-do white neighbours are waiting outside to see Hannibal off. A woman hands him a tin of biscuits. Hannibal hugs a woman, then gets in a waiting car. Teleplay by Paris Qualls and Trey Ellis and Ron Hutchinson. Story by Robert Williams and T.S. Cook. Hannibal's father puts Hannibal's case in the boot of the car, which has Iowa license plates. Hannibal waves farewell to the neighbours, who wave back as the car pulls away. Directed by Robert Markowitz. A steam train clatters along a track. It passes through a small town. Hannibal sits in a carriage, smoking a cigarette and looking at the pocket watch.
Chicago! Next stop, Chicago! Get your tickets to Reborn!
Hannibal looks out of the window and some men walk down the carriage. Billy, another black guy wearing a trilby, bustles down the carriage and puts his bag on a luggage rack. He leans over to Hannibal.
You see any lipstick on me?
Lipstick? No.
No? Francis sure did.
Billy sits down opposite Hannibal.
Well, that girl's got eagle eyes when it comes to spotting lipstick on me. If I ain't got nothing on me, she'd probably slapped it off.
Walter, another man with a mustache and a somber manner, approaches them.
Is she taken?
Have a sit down.
Walter puts his bag up on a luggage rack and takes a seat next to Billy.
Tickets, please.
Walter looks at a book.
Stick and rudder. You a pilot? No? Me neither. But I will be as soon as Uncle Sam finishes kicking my ass and pinning them wings on me.
You fellas on your way to Tuskegee?
Yes, sir.
What, you do?
Fine.
Yes, I am.
Excuse me?
A licensed pilot.
Damn. I bet he didn't even have to take the test.
Billy proffers his hand.
Billy Roberts. On the block, they call me Train. As in A-Train, you know, quickest way to Harlem, you know.
Block?
Lenox and 125th. What block you from?
I'm from a small town in Iowa. Ottumwa.
Iowa? I didn't know they had colored folk in Iowa. Now I guess I got living proof sitting here right next to me. What'd you get on that exam there, Iowa?
98.
On the board! 98, that's very good.
Oh, so you did take that test. That is very good, you know, but it ain't as good as mine, which is 100. But congratulations on being second best.
Walter's inscrutable.
Here we go.
The sun sets as the train clatters on over a wrought iron bridge. The train thunders on through the night. As the train arrives at a station, the guard wakes Hannibal, Billy and Walter, who are all asleep.
Huh? What?
Move it. That's what.
Huh?
Hey. Get your stuff and move it up front. Now, let's go. Move it, boy.
All right.
I ain't gonna ask you to do it again, damn it.
Well, excuse me, please.
The three pile out onto the platform, bleary-eyed. A fourth black guy wearing a flat cap, Lewis, spots them.
Bro, I don't know. But why are we getting off the train?
Hey.
A whites only sign.
See that? Car you on is now for white folks only. That's why you're getting off.
Keep in line now. One behind the other.
Military police with German prisoners.
Keep it tight.
German prisoners.
Make way.
Well, I'll be there.
The Germans are led onto the train.
Jim Crow cars in the front, boys.
The guys reboard the train.
You gonna give up our seats for German prisoners of war?
The train's leaving, boy. Either get on or back off.
Hannibal glares at the guard.
Hold on!
With an air of resignation, Hannibal hurries to reboard the train. The next morning, the four guys and several others are aboard an open army lorry. One of the other guys, Leroy, smokes a pipe. The truck passes a chain gang working in a field. The truck arrives at the front gates of Tuskegee Air Base and stops in front of a barrier. Hannibal grins. Leroy stands and watches a Mustang fighter plane go by.
That's me, just like a reading.
The truck arrives on a road between clapboard barrack houses. It parks up and Air Force personnel hustle the guys out of the truck. A black officer stands at attention.
Drill, Sergeant, give it to my six.
The NCOs get the guys lined up in ranks.
Get the man up! Get the man up! Let's go move, Sergeant!
Put your bag behind you!
Behind you!
Turn to your right!
Your military right!
Pick your bag up with your right hand!
Some white officers drive through the base. The white officer's jeep pulls up and they get out. The black officer marches the recruits over to them.
Live, live, live.
the men spaced themselves apart.
Put your bag down on your right.
The black officer and one of the white officers salute.
Host.
The white officer.
Gentlemen, welcome to Tuskegee Army Airfield. I'm Colonel Noel Rogers, the commanding officer. This is Major Sherman Joy, Director of Training, and Lieutenant Glenn, liaison officer. It is the task of myself, Major Joy, Lieutenant Glenn, and others at this training facility to train and evaluate you men as potential combat pilots. There have been many obstacles on the road to getting you here. Now that you are here, the only obstacle you will encounter will be how quick you learn, how well you obey orders, and how expert you fly. If I am the first to tell you that your being here is an experiment, take time to understand just what that means. There are people in very high places wondering if this will succeed. If I and my staff have anything to say about it, it will. However, we will cut no corners. We will allow no favors. Our business is killing our enemies from the air as efficiently and expeditiously as we know how. Now, assuming you make it through this training, that task will be your honor. Lieutenant, Major.
The colonel salutes and goes. Major Joy, the other white officer, steps forward.
Why did you join the Air Corps? Cadet.
To Walter.
Sir.
I don't like repeating myself, Cadet.
Serve my country, sir.
Your country. Boy, are you stupid?
No, sir.
You people. Now, don't you know how bad we treat you people? Serving your country. This ain't your country. Your country's full of apes and gorillas, malaria, missionaries.
Ain't no gorillas in Harlem.
Hannibal grins. He wipes the smile from his face as Major Joy stalks over to him.
Why'd you join the Air Corps, boy?
This country has enemies, sir, and there are people who need protecting from those enemies.
What people, nigga?
All people, sir. To my knowledge, the Germans aren't sparing the coloreds.
To my knowledge, the colored aren't up to fighting the Germans, let alone beating them.
Max Schmeling found out differently, sir.
Lieutenant Glenn listens impassively.
Well, you know what? My job is to see if you Joe Lewis's can fly. Now, in case the colonel gave you the wrong impression, let me clear it up. You are nothing.
He turns and salutes Lieutenant Glenn.
Special.
The lieutenant stares impassively at the recruits through aviator shades.
You just heard two very different speeches from two very different officers. I hope you were paying attention.
Hannibal regards the lieutenant warily.
It is my job as liaison officer to ease your transition to military life. Reveille's at 0600, PT's at 0630. And breakfast is at 0730. At the top of the military command structure is President Roosevelt as Commander-in-Chief. At the bottom is you, the cadet. Everything you need can and will be found on this base. Everything you need to know has the words U.S. Army Air Corps written on the cover. If it doesn't, you don't need it.
That night, military police patrol the base.
You got weekends.
Kind of figured that would happen.
Yeah. Hannibal lies on his bed in one of the barracks, puffing on a cigarette and staring at the ceiling. Lewis lies on his bed blowing smoke rings. Billy looks over at Walter, who's reading his book, Stick and Rudder. Billy calls over to Hannibal.
Hey,
Yeah.
You ready for all of this? I mean, we in the army now, boy.
Well, it's not a tumor, but I've been ready for this for a long time. What about you, Walter?
Well, Stick? Stick was born ready. He probably popped out his mama with a full bomb load.
Come graduation, none of y'all's names will be in front of mine.
Oh, is that right?
Guaranteed.
Well, what might that name be there, Reverend Bookworm? Stick or Rudder?
Peebles. Walter Derrick, the third. Aeronautical engineer.
Hannibal Lee, Jr., pre-med.
Lewis Johns, English literature.
William A. Train Roberts, political science.
Roy Jonas Cappy, art history.
Andrew Turner, sociology.
Charles T., halfback. William Pitts.
Major Joy walks into a classroom where the cadets, now in their uniforms, are waiting.
Class, attention! Take your seats.
The Major distributes pamphlets.
Take one and pass them back.
The mustachioed Major regards the recruits contemptuously as they pass around the pamphlets.
What is this?
Permission to speak, sir.
What is it, cadet?
Sir, I believe we've already taken this test before.
Yep.
No, I believe you'll take it again.
May the cadet ask why, sir?
You don't have time for an explanation, cadet. You have 1 hour for this exam. Begin and end on my mark. Name an element. Cadet Lee.
Water, sir.
Any others? Cadet Johns.
Earth, sir.
Cadet Peoples.
Air, sir.
Cappy.
Fire, sir.
Water, air, earth, and fire. Of these elements, I direct your attention to air and fire. Although it is your privilege to live in the air, it is your destiny to die by fire. Many of you will wash out before you ever set foot in an airplane. Others will die during primary flight training. Still others in advanced. When you die, we will cross off your name, close ranks, and carry on. Now, any of you ever been up in an airplane before?
Yes, sir, when I was in college, sir. I have a pilot's license, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, follow me, Mr. Lindbergh.
A biplane training plane pulls a loop-the-loop. Walter and the Major are in it.
All right, peoples, let's see what you're made of!
The Major grins. The other cadets watch from the ground.
He's trying to wear Stick out.
Doing it on purpose, too.
Tell when you had enough, flyboy!
Walter looks a little green around the gills as the Major puts the plane into a spinning nosedive. He pulls it out of the dive and climbs sharply again. The Major grins as he puts the plane into a barrel roll.
How you doing back there? What about a loop?
The Major looks frustrated. The biplane lands on the runway and taxis over to the cadets. As it stops, an unshaken Walter climbs out of the plane and walks over to the other cadets. He shakes hands with one of them. The Major gets out of the plane and marches over to Walter.
I want you to read your flight manual cover to cover and know it like the Holy Bible.
Yes, sir.
That goes for all of you. Is that clear?
Yes, sir!
The Major stalks off and the recruits salute. Hannibal breathes a sigh of relief.
Hey, you. Cadet Peoples. Why'd you join the Air Corps, boy?
I ain't thinking about Major Joy. He's just another door in the way.
Another crack in the box.
Another peck in the woods.
I just want to serve my country, sir.
What country? You don't have a country. Goddamn uppity nigger son of a bitch.
Oh, I was real sorry, sir. Your country.
Lewis shakes his head.
Uppity niggers turn into strange fruit where I come from.
They all look at him.
Strange what?
Nigga hanging from a tree. Just swinging from a hangman's fine as he. Talk back Joe was his name, all three. Master shut his mouth, then turned to me. Lord, Master shut his mouth, then he turned to me.
A somber atmosphere descends over the barrack room. Leroy polishes his shoes. Walter looks down thoughtfully.
Did you learn that in English lit, Johns?
My great-granddaddy told me that sitting on his knee.
It's a hell of a bedtime story.
Billy pins up a sketch of a woman. The major is in the colonel's office.
As director of training, I assumed I had the authority to conduct any testing I thought necessary, sir.
That assumption was incorrect, Major. These men have all previously been tested. What possible reason could you have for testing them again?
The previous test scores themselves, sir. 90s, 100s. I've long had my suspicions about the accuracy of those scores.
You think they cheated to get here?
A lot of people dream to be pilots, Colonel. Many will stop at nothing to become one. Eliminating dishonest, untrainable cadets will save my staff time and aggravation.
I see. Well, here are the answers to your retest. I had the results sent over as soon as they were compiled. I, too, have curiosity, Major. Though I suspect my motives are somewhat different. Cadet Lewis Johns, 98. Cadet Billy Roberts, 100. Cadet Walter Peoples, 100. Cadet Hannibal Lee, 100. I could go on. No one scored less than 95.
Sir, these people are taking up training slots that would be better filled by real pilots. Damn it, sir, there's a war on.
Yes, Major, there is. And I'd prefer that wall was not on this base. That'll be all, Major.
The Major salutes and marches out. The cadets are lined up by the training aircraft.
PT-17. Fuel capacity and engine. Cadet Johns.
Fuel, 46 gallons. Engine, 220 horsepower. Continental, sir.
Satisfied, the Major nods.
Left spin recovery technique. Cadet.
Right rudder, stop rotation, sharp forward stick, pull out from dive. Sir.
All right. Let's go up.
Lewis grins. Later, he and an instructor are in a biplane which is climbing sharply.
Pay attention, cadet. Nose down! Down!
Yes, sir!
Let's do it now! Now!
The engine stalls and the plane starts to dive.
Recover, cadet!
I'm trying!
Nose up, nose down. Watch your airspeed.
We got him! Let go of the stick! Let go, I got it!
Step on the ball.
I like to step on his balls.
Let go, dammit!
The biplane crashes.
Go on!
It hit a building on the base. Later, Lieutenant Glenn addresses the cadets.
Cadet Lewis Johns, just taught you men the most important lesson you'll learn here at Tuskegee. If you don't believe in God, you better find a damned good substitute. As you were.
Two airmen carrying Lewis's trunk follow the lieutenant out of the barrack room. Walter looks somber and tries to get on with some work. Hannibal looks at Leroy, who in turn looks over at another cadet who is busy packing clothes into a kit bag. The other cadet glances round and sees Leroy looking. The cadet shuts his trunk and walks away carrying the kit bag over his shoulder. Leroy gets off his bed and begins making it up. Hannibal walks down the dormitory towards him. Hannibal stops and looks around.
Hey, you missed chow.
I wasn't hungry.
Hannibal watches as Leroy angrily throws his pillow aside and starts stripping the bed again.
Can I give you a hand?
I don't need a hand.
What the hell is eating you, Cappy?
Three more washed out today. Bradley, Wade, and Patterson. Wade just broke down and walked off the base. And Lewis, I can't get him out of my head.
You're gonna get your chance to solo, Leroy. You're gonna make it. We're all gonna make
it. That's bullshit, Hannibal. And you know it. We're not all gonna make it. When we first got here, this barracks was filled. Look at it now. One third of our guys are gone, and we're only halfway through this program.
So what? Big deal.
Hannibal walks up to Leroy.
I know I'm gonna make it, Leroy. That's all that matters. What about you? You gonna make it?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Look, I said I don't know, okay?
No.
Walter walks over to them.
It's not okay. It's the wrong damn answer. Now the question is, are you gonna make it? Because if you don't think you will, you won't. And then you will have failed. You will have failed your family, you will have failed your friends, and most importantly, you will have failed yourself.
Leroy shifts uncomfortably.
Can you live with that?
No.
Hannibal glances at Walter. Leroy looks up as Billy and the other cadets come into the dormitory.
Are you going to make it?
Leroy shrugs.
Yeah, I'm gonna make it.
You say it like you mean it, cadet.
He looks up at Hannibal, then over at Walter. Leroy looks at the other cadets and considers.
I'm going to make it.
Fight, 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 fighting 99th. Rat-tat, rat-tat-tat, down in flames they go. Fighting men of the 99th, send them down below, for we are heroes of the night. To hell with the Axis might. Fight, 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 fighting 99th. Drink up, raise those cups to those gallant men, to the gallant men. Flying cross of flame, oh God, red, white, blue.
The cadets march past the wreckage of Lewis's plane. A biplane taxis along the runway. The rear wheel lifts off the tarmac. Aboard it are the Major and Hannibal. The Major takes his hands off the controls.
It's all yours!
Yes, sir!
Hannibal pulls back on the joystick and the plane lifts up into the air. A second biplane taxis down the runway, this one with Leroy at the controls. The plane climbs into the air. Already airborne is Billy, who smiles as he flies along. The planes bank left in a loose formation. Also already airborne is Walter. He banks his plane right. Walter's instructor gives him a thumbs up.
Nice turn!
At the controls of his plane, Hannibal's face is a mask of concentration. He brings the plane into land on the runway. He taxis to a halt on the runway apron. The Major climbs out of the instructor's seat in the front.
Back into the Major's part, sir, but why are we stopping? Did the cadet do something wrong, sir?
I'm giving you the opportunity of killing yourself without taking me with you.
Sir?
You're shallowing, cadet! Give me three circuits around the pattern, each to a full stop.
Yes, sir.
Delighted to be left solo, Hannibal taxis the plane back onto the runway. The Major watches as he gathers speed and gets the plane up into the air again.
Yeah.
The Major shields his eyes from the sun as Hannibal climbs higher into the sky. Hannibal laughs to himself as he pilots the plane. Later, he and the other cadets watch footage of aerial combat. A plane is shot down. The Major operates the projector. Planes disintegrate as they're hit. A plane crashes into woods. The Major switches off the projector and opens the blinds. Lieutenant Glenn turns to the cadets.
Any questions on the film you just saw?
Everyone looks round at him.
No questions. Timidness is a characteristic that gets fighter pilots killed, gentlemen.
So where's Major Joy? I was assumed that he was teaching air combat techniques.
And why is that?
Cadet. Because he's white and I'm colored. Come on, spit it out, man.
No disrespect. It's just a matter of experience. Sir.
Hannibal watches the lieutenant closely.
Another assumption.
The lieutenant straightens up.
I'm going to give you the facts, Cadet. Out of 150 U.S. Army officers on this base, you are looking at the only one with actual air combat experience. I have 3 109 kills, and I've had a Spitfire and a Hurricane shot out from under me. Both times behind enemy lines, and both times I escaped.
But the Air Corps didn't allow color flyers. How'd you do that?
You went north. Royal Canadian Air Force. Right, Lieutenant?
48 missions. Now, if you don't think I have anything to teach you, you are free to walk out of that door.
Walter nods contritely.
My job is to teach you basic air combat tactics. Your next training machine, the AT-6. Bank without a term. If you learn nothing else, learn this one. It will save your life. It starts with a hard bank.
Now in the air, the cadets practice the maneuver.
Hey, Peoples, you're supposed to be trying to get away.
Yeah? Well, you're looking at the man who put the dog in dogfight.
Hannibal chases Walter.
Got your ass now, Walter.
Walter banks left. Hannibal follows, hot on his tail.
Come on, Walter. You didn't expect me to fall for that.
Fall for this!
Walter banks and rolls, disappearing from Hannibal's view.
Hey, where the hell are you? Look behind your ass, Iowa.
He's on Hannibal's tail.
Ben, you are dead.
Damn, where'd you learn that?
Just made it up, man. Just made it up.
Come on, Peoples, you don't expect me to believe you just made that up. Where'd you learn it?
Same place I learned this.
He banks sharply and dives.
Hey, you're too low. We can't buzz the field. Walter!
Walter swoops in low over the airfield. People duck and the Colonel and the Major stare.
What's no victory roll between friends?
Walter performs a roll and the Major smiles. Later, he and the Lieutenant are with the Colonel.
I don't see that we have much choice, Colonel. I've already lost one instructor when that boy Johns crashed and burned. This last stunt could have cost us another plane and pilot. Besides, I've had my doubts about Cadet Peoples for some time. He and that boy Hannibal are showboats with attitudes to get men killed.
And what do you think, Lieutenant?
The Lieutenant looks up surprised, then considers.
It's a damn fool thing to do, sir. But I've seen the Air Corps overlook worse.
Would you trust that pilot on your wing in combat?
He's one of the few that I would trust.
Well, maybe there's a reason for that, apart from his flying abilities.
I've flown with white pilots in actual combat who don't have his skills, sir.
The colonel looks pensive and gets to his feet.
When these men arrived, I told them no corners would be cut for them. They were going to have to be held to the highest standards of the service.
Lieutenant Glenn walks over to the colonel.
But is it fair for that standard to be higher than any other group of men? It was simple, youthful exuberance, Colonel!
I'm doing a difficult job as well as I can, Lieutenant.
The lieutenant struggles to keep his emotions in check.
That'll be all, gentlemen.
Lieutenant Glenn salutes, about turns and goes. The major walks over to the colonel.
High test scores don't mean everything, do they, Colonel?
I said that we'll be all, Major.
The major snaps to attention and salutes.
Cadets, change hands!
The cadets jump to attention. Absorbed in his own thoughts, Walter is a bit slow off the mark. The lieutenant marches over to him and steps up close.
I'm sorry.
Walter's shoulders sag and he looks crushed. He turns back to the lieutenant.
Lieutenant,
I wish there was something I could do.
The lieutenant remains staring fixedly ahead. Walter's eyes rove as he grapples with the situation. Hannibal looks over at Walter.
Walter?
Walter runs out.
Dismissed!
Walter! Walter!
There's little margin for error here.
I don't see any margin at all, sir.
Billy and Leroy follow Hannibal, who ran out after Walter. The lieutenant remains standing at attention. Walter runs onto the runway apron and finds the major talking to another airman. Walter salutes and the major returns it.
Permission to speak, sir.
What is it?
I made a mistake, sir. It won't happen again.
That's right, Peoples. It won't. You're out.
Colonel, I did something really stupid. I'll take any punishment you give, but please don't put me out of the program. Not now.
It's on my hands tired.
Walter's shoulders sag once again.
I can't go home like this.
Home? If it was up to me, boy, you'd be going into the infantry.
Major!
I got a right to fight for what I believe in like anybody else.
I'm the best pilot in this damn place.
Get a grip! People!
People! Walter!
People!
Walter runs to a plane an engineer just fired up. He gets in the cockpit. The plane taxis out onto the runway. Walter pulls on a leather flying helmet as he goes. Hannibal watches as the plane gathers speed. In the cockpit, Walter looks calm and composed. The plane takes off.
Come graduation day, no name called will be higher than mine. Guaranteed.
He puts the plane through a roll. Leveling off, he flies low over the airfield, then climbs sharply. The major grabs a radio.
Peoples, you got your ass down here right now! That's an order!
The plane climbs faster and higher. Walter smiles to himself.
Peoples!
Walter puts the plane into a steep dive. Hannibal watches with mounting horror. The plane hits the tarmac and explodes in a huge fireball. The major takes his sunglasses off.
Crazy man.
Leroy, Billy, Hannibal and the lieutenant look on grimly. Later, Hannibal takes a shower. He looks out of the showers at Leroy, who's standing by a basin. Leroy stares back at him in the mirror, then gathers up his wash stuff and goes. Hannibal remains in the showers, lost in thought. He turns around, looking shaken. Leroy goes into the dormitory and finds Billy looking at a photograph of Walter.
Hey, you all right?
Billy hands him the photograph.
Yeah, huh? Took it right after his solo. He's gonna send it home to his folks.
Hannibal comes in.
Give it a rest, Train. Let them pack up his things. Billy, it's not our job.
No!
Back off, okay?
No!
They'll take care of it. I told you.
No! No! They killed him. Hannibal, they killed him. Major Joy set out to break him, and he did. Just as clean as if he put a carbine to his head.
He was my friend, too.
Get off me.
You know he's right, Hannibal. You know, this shit doesn't make any sense. Why are they even bothering? I mean, they might as well just forget it and send us home.
You want to go home, Cappy? Shove off. You two, Train, go on. Tuck your tail between your legs and run back to Harlem. Make Major Joy happy. Me too, for that matter. I'd sooner be here by my lonesome than to play with a pair of jokers who can't figure out the game. Don't you see, that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to quit. He wants us all to wash out. I'm not going to give him the satisfaction. I came here for one reason, to do one thing, to learn how to fly. I'm going to do that, and I ain't going to let you stop me.
I didn't say that.
Not you, not Major Joy, not the goddamn commander-in-chief himself. You reading me, Train?
They all snap to attention as the lieutenant comes in. He's dressed in his flying suit.
What's going on?
Nothing, sir, just a little discussion, sir.
Well, while you're cleaning up, add this to your discussion. You lost a friend today, and I understand how you feel.
He takes Walter's hat off Billy's head.
But you'd better get over it. Quick! Friends die in our business, and for a lot of reasons. And the only protection you have against losing one is not to have any.
The lieutenant looks from Billy to Hannibal, then turns on his heel and starts to march out of the dormitory.
As you were.
Billy wipes away tears from his cheek. Hannibal closes his eyes. The rev counter in Leroy's plane starts to drop. He looks around in concern. His plane begins to trail white smoke.
What's wrong, Cappy?
I'm losing manifold pressure.
The lieutenant looks over at Leroy.
Roberts, break formation.
Yes, sir.
He banks away.
Lieutenant Glenn, it's pretty bad.
The plane continues belching smoke.
I gotta put her down.
We passed the country road about a mile back. Stay with him, Lee.
Yes, sir.
Hannibal flies down below Leroy's plane.
Coming around on your other wing.
He flies low behind him.
Hang on, Cappy.
Hannibal lowers his goggles. The planes descend steeply towards a bank of cloud, Leroy's smoking plane leading the way. Down on the ground, men on a chain gang scythe a field of long grass. A shotgun-toting marshal calls out to them.
Working up that hill!
The men keep cutting the grass. Hannibal and Leroy's planes come out of the clouds. The marshals and the men on the chain gang look up as Leroy's plane hoves into view. It now has its undercarriage down and smoke continues to spew from its exhausts. It drops down lower, narrowly misses some telegraph poles and touches down on the road nearby. The marshal watches impressed.
It's our boy.
Hannibal's plane lands just behind Leroy's.
Stop the road! Give him room! I said move and damn it!
The marshal hustles the guys on the chain gang back from the roadside as the planes taxi round and come to a halt in front of them. Hannibal and Leroy kill their engines and get out of their aircraft. They both still wear their masks and goggles, making it impossible to see who they are. They inspect Leroy's engine and remove their masks and goggles. Hannibal turns to the marshal.
Just a little engine trouble.
Son of a bitch.
They're niggers.
The guys on the chain gang, who are all black, stare in delighted wonder at the airmen. The marshal regards them with less enthusiasm. An older prisoner beams at them.
Base-coloured flies.
He smiles delightedly at them. At a ceremony on the wet runway apron, the colonel pins airmen's wings onto the uniforms of the graduating cadets.
Lieutenant Roberts, congratulations.
The colonel shakes Billy's hand and salutes. Billy smiles proudly. The major moves to the next man in the line.
Lieutenant Thompson, sir.
Relatives watch the ceremony.
Congratulations, Lieutenant.
The colonel turns to Leroy.
Lieutenant Caffey.
He pins his airman's wings on his uniform.
Congratulations, Lieutenant.
Thank you, sir.
They salute each other. The colonel and the major move on to Hannibal.
Lieutenant Lee.
The major looks unhappy as the colonel awards Hannibal his wings.
Congratulations, Lieutenant.
Thank you, Colonel.
They salute. Hannibal's parents watch proudly. Lieutenant Glenn steps up to Hannibal.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
They shake hands. The colonel addresses the men.
What you men have accomplished, given the odds against it, your friends back home could only dream about. And your families watching today never imagined. You are among a select few who will ever know the honor of serving their country in the realm of flight. You are now United States Army Air Corps Aviators. For that achievement, I congratulate you.
A band strikes up and the newly qualified airmen stand at attention. Hannibal's father salutes his son. Hannibal beams back at his old man. An article in a magazine bears the headline Negro Pilots Get Wings, together with a selection of photographs showing the men serving in their squadron.
We Americans will contribute unified acceptance of sacrifice and of effort. That means a national unity that can know no limitations of race or creed or selfish politics. The American people expect that much from themselves.
Gentlemen, this meeting is adjourned.
The meeting has been taking place in the Capitol building in Washington. Various military chiefs, congressmen, and senators have been attending it. The committee's chairman approaches Senator Conyers.
I understand your position, Beach, but it's a very sticky subject, particularly in the Negro press.
And I've said this committee should not be concerned with the Negro press. However, I know a dead horse when I beat one. So I think this might inject a little courage into the more timid of our colleagues.
What's that?
It's a scientific study that I was commissioned by the anthropology department of one of our most prestigious universities. The credentials of its authors are as unimpeachable as its conclusions. Look at this. The intellectual capacity of the Negro in respect to the operation of complicated machinery, i.e. a frontline warplane, is questionable. And down here, smaller blood vessels in the Negro translates to restricted blood supply and problems in severe maneuvers.
There are documented reports of mysterious training crashes at Tuskegee. Blacking out and losing control might very well explain them.
Might very well.
When does the full committee get the report?
In due time. Right now it's under lock and key. I got a few more ducks to line up before I make my move and see that this Tuskegee nonsense is finally brought to an end. As God is my witness, those boys will never see combat.
6 months later, a military staff car, accompanied by a jeep and other vehicles, pulls up on the runway apron at Tuskegee. An Air Force general gets out of the staff car and is met by the colonel and the major.
General Stevenson, I wish I had more time to prepare for this visit, sir.
So in the hell do I, Colonel.
The general walks over to one of the other cars and the door is opened for a white woman in her 60s.
Mrs. Roosevelt.
Colonel Rogers is the commanding officer at Tuskegee. As I mentioned on the phone, the First Lady is here to take a look at the operations, Colonel.
Well, maybe a little background might be in order, man, before we start with a tour of the facilities. The field sits on 1,600 acres and is one of the largest in the country.
How would you gauge the progress of your colored flyers, Colonel?
I'd say their progress is commensurate with the standards of the training command, ma'am.
Plain English, Colonel. Does that mean you are or aren't satisfied?
I am very satisfied, ma'am.
Good. Then I want a ride in one of your airplanes.
The Colonel and the General exchange a look.
Major, take the First Lady up in that Stearman over there. Take a couple of loops around the field.
I want a ride with him.
Mrs. Roosevelt points out Hannibal, who's sitting in the cockpit of a biplane nearby. The Colonel, the General, and the Major all look dumbfounded.
Is that a problem, gentlemen? I thought you said these men were trained. Surely the addition of an old lady in the rear seat won't unravel that confidence.
No, ma'am.
Good. And when I'm finished, you can also tell me why these pilots are still here, and not overseas, fighting for their country like the rest of our boys.
Mrs. Roosevelt marches off towards the biplane, and the officers fall in behind her. Hannibal sees her coming and climbs down from his aircraft. Billy, Leroy, and Lieutenant Glenn look on as a photographer takes pictures.
Mrs. Roosevelt.
Lieutenant Lee.
Good afternoon, young man.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
It's turned into a beautiful day for an airplane ride.
Yes, ma'am.
The Major gives Hannibal the nod, and he climbs back into the cockpit of the plane. The General watches dubiously as the others help Mrs. Roosevelt aboard.
That isn't who I think it is it?
Lieutenant Lee is about to make all your dreams come true.
What do you mean?
Take a good look around you, gentlemen. I suspect Alabama will soon become a fond memory.
Hold it, please. Smile.
The photographer takes pictures of a grinning Hannibal and Mrs. Roosevelt in the plane together. The picture fades to black. A squadron of Mustang fighter planes is stationed at a base in the desert. Hannibal and the other black airmen arrive carrying their kit bags. They watch a Mustang fly overhead. They walk over to some Mustang planes. Hannibal finds a crewman painting Lieutenant Lee on the side of one of them.
Don't tell me I spelled your name wrong, sir. I mean, how can you screw up Lee?
No, you spelled it right. Just never had my own plane before.
Well, it's not yours, Lieutenant. It's mine. I put your name on it so you think it's yours. Sergeant Toby Wills, sir.
They shake hands.
Your crew chief. Call me Tank.
Nice to meet you, Tank. I'm Hannibal. Don't you worry. I'll take care of your plane just like it was mine.
Billy walks up to Hannibal. They share a smile and rub palms, watching Tank smiles. A Mustang flies low over the base. The CO gives his men a briefing.
I want to welcome you men to North Africa. For those of you who don't know me, I am Lieutenant Colonel Benjamin O. Davis, commander of the 99th Pursuit Squadron. Tomorrow morning, you'll get an opportunity to meet the entire 33rd Fighter Group. Despite the long and hard road you've traveled, and the many obstacles that have been thrown in your path, you have arrived.
Yes, we have.
I want you to know I'm proud of you.
He smiles.
Welcome to the war, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was a long day, man. I'd be glad to get
a sign briefing 0600.
Now, there's a class act.
You said it, brother.
B.O. Davis. You know, he's a lot shorter than what I pictured.
Yep, well, West Point will do that to a colored man.
What do you mean?
It means that he was silenced the entire time that he was at West Point. Nobody talked to him. But he never gave up.
That's right.
He just kept on in. Like Walter said, just a matter of focus.
Hey, train, we're starting up.
Up. Yeah. Poker calls, gents. Gotta take the pot.
Good luck, Billy.
Leroy puffs on his pipe and looks out at the desert night.
Huh. You know, it's so beautiful out here. I should have brought my watercolors.
Yeah. I never knew there was a war going on.
The next morning, two Mustangs fly overhead.
Let's get closer in formation. Yes, sir.
Well, time to pay the dances.
Oh, you got that right.
Yeah, what you got?
Ready, guy? What you got?
Really pay attention.
Just keep your head up.
I'm a
little nervous.
Liftoff time is 0700. Yeah. Lieutenant, you.
Some white officers are in the briefing tent.
It's the Buffalo Soldiers. Day late and a dollar short.
Take a seat, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
Hannibal and the others find seats amongst the white pilots.
I guess we can begin our briefing.
Why wasn't I informed that the briefing had been pushed up?
You and your men are expected to read the board just like everybody else.
The board said 0600.
I'd look again, Colonel.
It says 0530.
They changed it.
Same old, same old. We'll be back in Alabama.
Lee, Roberts, Cappy.
Sir.
We're flying in Europe. Follow me and I'll brief you on the way.
Yes, sir.
The squadrons start their engines. Leroy climbs up onto his plane and gives Hannibal the thumbs up. Hannibal returns the gesture. Billy, Hannibal, and Leroy get in their planes and close up the canopies. The planes taxi out towards the airstrip.
We've got a rail yard near Sataf that has to be taken out. German Tiger divisions have been kicking the shit out of our ground forces, but are now low on fuel and munitions. G2 fixed this yard as the supply depot. Our job is to make those supplies disappear.
A ground crewman signals to the pilots to take off. The first Mustang accelerates down the desert airstrip, raising dust as it goes. As it lifts into the air, it retracts its landing gear. The other planes follow. Once they're all airborne, the ground crewman walks off the airstrip. The planes, which are single-seat fighters, fly in a tight formation. The planes are made of polished aluminium panels, and each plane bears the USAF Star Roundel logo. Hannibal radios to Leroy and Billy.
Targets coming up just ahead, over that ridge. We gotta knock out the German supply trains at Sataf.
5 miles to target.
Okay, let's show them what we're made of.
Go get him, Hannibal!
He dives.
Easy, Hannibal, easy. Ready, and
fire! Yeah!
Cannon fire hits a train.
Yeah, buddy, let's hit him again!
Leroy and Billy dive into the attack.
Beautiful! Look at that!
Back at base, the crews watch footage of the attack. A train is destroyed. Cannon fire peppers a locomotive.
Wow! Oh, I'm crying.
For your first mission, you guys did damn good. I see Lieutenant Glenn trained you well. I like that.
Thank you, sir.
9 months of practice didn't hurt, sir.
Colonel Davis glares at Billy.
I checked that attitude, Lieutenant.
He stubs out a cigarette.
Go get your sleep. We have a briefing tomorrow at 0530.
The next morning, the squadron's ground crew start up the plane's engines.
Remember to check your fuel. This one will stretch our range. Don't suck your tanks dry.
Or it's a long camel ride back home.
You fellas stay in tight formation. There's safety in numbers.
Safety from what, sir? Circling buzzard? I haven't seen a Jerry since we've been here.
That doesn't mean they're not out there. Dual targets this morning. The German airfield, then the power station.
turned out.
Excuse me, Colonel Davis.
Yes?
When do you think we'll be seeing some air combat, sir?
You in a hurry to die, Lieutenant Lee?
No, sir, but we've been doing nothing but ground runs. The white units have already rotated out to France. Why haven't we?
If you're not in a hurry to die, you must have something to prove.
With all due respect to the Colonel as a West Point graduate, your father being the first Negro appointed general in the United States military, sir, I think we all have something to prove.
Don't you dream of jeopardizing this mission with your glory seeking. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Colonel Davis glares at Hannibal, then marches off to his plane. Now in the air, the squadron moves in to attack.
We're going after the first target.
Billy dives towards a grounded plane.
We caught him on the ground! Clip his wings, Cap! Yahoo!
Ready or not, I'm rolling in. Got a little something from Uncle Sam for you, Jerry. Take that, Nazi bastard!
More planes are machine gunned.
I got it!
The planes gain altitude again.
Right, let's head for home.
The planes touch down on the base's desert airstrip. Piles of bombs are lined up at the side of the airstrip. A jeep drives up with Colonel Davis in it. He has a word with Billy, then drives on. Billy calls over to Hannibal and Leroy, who are chatting nearby.
Hey! Hey, fellas! Colonel wants to see us.
Us?
Us, yeah, you guys, me.
Lieutenants Lee, Cappy, and Roberts reporting his order, General.
Gentlemen, relax, have a seat.
They all sit down. Colonel Davis sits beside General Stevenson.
I'm General Stevenson. This is Senator Conyers.
Conyers nods to them.
General, I believe we've met before. It was back at Tuskegee with Mrs. Roosevelt.
You're the one who took her up?
Yes, sir. She can barrel roll with the best of them, sir.
And just what would that mean?
It's a maneuver, sir.
Gentlemen, we all have things to do, so let's move on. The Senator and I are on a final swing of a fact-finding tour through the war zone, wanting to see how you boys are settling in.
We've been getting reports, which require some, clarification.
We have critics back in the States, Lieutenant.
I wasn't aware of any criticism, sir.
Well, let me make you aware. Inability to locate targets, failure to press home attacks or find secondary targets when the first is obscured, attitude problems with fellow officers, poor formation discipline, cowardice.
Excuse me, Lieutenant.
General Stevenson eyes the Senator warily.
Senator, I can
answer... I'm here to talk with the pilots. I'm not interested in practiced excuses. I thought I made that clear.
Hannibal, Leroy, and Billy are back in the air.
So what do you guys think they'll reassign Colonel Davis?
We don't know that he's been reassigned.
Well, I don't see him out here anywhere. They're probably going to punish him by sticking him behind a desk. Lord knows it's the worst thing you can do to a pilot. Boy, it was sure as shooting kill me.
Billy looks up ahead of them.
Shit! Bandits! 2 o'clock!
Four Axis planes approach.
109! Finally some action! Let's get them, boys!
Leroy!
Cappy, get back in formation now! They're probably just recon. They won't attack us if we stick together.
Here's our chance for some kills! Come on!
Leroy races towards them.
They're gonna isolate them! They're gonna cut them off!
Leroy opens fire on one of the enemy planes, but misses.
Damn! Come on, train, let's go.
Cappy, there's one on your tail.
Get him off me, Hannibal! I got this one!
The planes jockey for the best tactical position. Leroy's plane is hit. He gets a bullet through the knee.
I'm hit!
Hang on, Cappy.
Hannibal banks right.
Come on, Jerry, you want to fight? Fight me. I'll give you a fight. Got you dead in my sights, you son of a bitch.
A Messerschmitt dives.
Woo! Jerry's a running home!
Cappy? Cappy, talk to me.
Oh, shit!
Help me! Leroy, don't panic! Don't panic!
Flames fill Leroy's cockpit.
Cappy, jump, jump!
Bail, Leroy, bail!
The stricken Mustang goes into a spiraling dive, trailing black smoke behind it.
Cappy!
Billy and Hannibal watch in horror as Leroy's Mustang hits the ground and bursts into flames, sending a plume of black smoke up into the air. Billy lifts his goggles and looks shocked. Back at the base, Hannibal looks at a sketch Leroy did of a Mustang, which he's drawn with feathers like a bird. Hannibal picks up Leroy's pipe. He sniffs the bowl of the pipe, then sits in grim contemplation. Back in Washington, Senator Conyers sits in committee.
In terms of character, the Negro has been observed to be both childish and impulsive.
Now, gentlemen, you must agree that this report is highly inflammatory.
I have on my desk a War Department memo on a colored pilot recently shot down in North Africa after breaking formation. As a description, impulsive quite appears the appropriate terminology.
Maybe, but this report smacks of a singular point of view.
Well, all points of view are singular if they're not to your liking, Senator. Meanwhile, I've got constituents who wonder why, when they're suffering from war rationing and overtaxation, why we're spending their tax dollars on a bunch of college-educated niggers who've convinced the press that they can fly expensive warplanes.
Gentlemen, this experiment certainly had noble beginnings. The failures are evident and glaring.
Conyers nods.
Perhaps the thing to do is abandon this project until after the war, when calmer conditions will allow for a more thoughtful approach.
One of the senators walks out.
Where are you going?
To give a representative of the accused an opportunity to defend himself.
Exasperated, Conyers holds his hands up. The other senator marches out of the room. The senator returns with General Stevenson and Colonel Davis. Conyers regards them uneasily.
General Stevenson, you know, this is Lieutenant Colonel Benjamin O. Davis, the commanding officer of the squadron in question. Be seated.
They sit down. Senator Cassidy, the committee chairman, turns to them.
Colonel, you are aware of the accusations, such as malaise and fatigue in the face of little enemy contact?
We've been in continuous combat for months with no replacements, sir. My men are tired. Other units get four fresh bodies a month, but something always seems to go wrong with our paperwork or movement orders.
How many missions have your men flown, Colonel?
Most have flown well over 50, which is the standard cutoff point at which white pilots are sent home.
And your men are still flying?
They don't know what else to do with us, sir. White pilots rotate back to the States as instructors, but since the Army won't allow colored pilots to train white cadets...
9 months training. Countless missions in Africa, and not one air-to-air kill. Isn't that right?
We can't fight what we don't see. We've been stationed so far from frontline action, we rarely encounter an enemy plane, let alone the opportunity to engage one.
You recently lost a pilot who cut and ran from, what, an imaginary Messerschmitt?
Those men understand Lieutenant Cappy's action was a mistake.
Stakes are all we see, young man. Late for mission briefings, piss-poor discipline and leadership, and nothing but excuses.
What I see is a unit that's an embarrassment to the Air Corps, to the American people, and to themselves. Might I remind you, gentlemen, that this war is by no means won, and this sad experiment is a drain and a hindrance to that effort. My vote is that we abandon the project and move the agenda.
All we asked for was a chance to prove ourselves, a fair and impartial opportunity. We thought we had that chance. But you invite us to a poker game, hand us a fixed deck, and then wonder why we can't win?
Young man, we really don't...
Let him finish, sir.
Every colored pilot in the 99th went to his own private hell to wear those wings. Every one of those men carry not only the burden of their dreams of becoming American military aviators, but the hopes of an entire people as well. Am I the only one in this room that understands just what that means?
Conyers frowns.
I was brought up to believe that, beneath it all, Americans are a decent people with an abiding sense of integrity and fair play. The cheers I heard across this country when Joe Louis and Jesse Owens humiliated Hitler's master race didn't just come from proud colored folks. They came from everyone. How are we to interpret that? As a United States Army officer who gladly puts his life on the line every day, there's no greater conflict within me. How do I feel about my country? And how does my country feel about me? Are we only to be Americans when the mood suits you? A fair and impartial opportunity is all we ask. Nothing that you yourselves wouldn't demand.
A view soaring over clouds. A squadron of US bombers flies above the cloud. Caption: the US 22nd Bomb Group over northern Italy. In the cockpit of one of the planes, a pilot talks over the radio.
All right, Vance, we got another one coming in high over here.
German fighters.
He's on your side. Pick him up.
The bombers' gunners open fire.
I got two of them breaking left. Son of a bitch. I lost them. I've got one at 9 o'clock. Oh, my God, no, no.
A gunner's killed.
Number three's losing MP.
The crew look out at the wing and see smoke pouring from it. They cut one of their engines.
Look out, another one.
Another of the gunners is hit.
Bomb man, he's hit bad. Kansas, there's all kind of hits back at the wing. Kansas! I got two shooters coming in hard.
The remaining gunner opens fire but is hit by the incoming fire.
Shit, I'm going back.
Hell no, I need you up here.
What the hell is our escort?
I never saw them!
Son of a bitch!
A German Messerschmitt peppers the bomber with bullets.
Hold on! Hold on back there! Shit! Shit!
Vance, let's get this thing home.
Okay, we're going home, guys. We're going home!
The Flying Fortress bomber begins to descend with smoke still trailing from one of its engines. It lowers its landing gear and touches down on an airstrip. Safely back on the ground, it taxis onto the runway apron and cuts its remaining engines.
Master switch off.
The pilot and co-pilot shut the plane down. An ambulance pulls up beside it. The pilot climbs out of the plane and looks up at the damaged aircraft. The co-pilot checks on the gunners.
Wally! Wally!
He finds they're all dead.
Kansas?
The co-pilot climbs out of the plane. Medical personnel climb aboard to remove the bodies. A senior officer talks to the pilot and co-pilot.
If it's any consolation, the word's in, it was a good strike.
Lost half my crew up there, Colonel. My book, that's the shit end of the stick. A fighter escort never even made the rendezvous point.
Said they ran into some trouble en route, took some pretty heavy casualties of their own.
Damn! They always got some sort of excuse. Me, I got parts of four kids all over the Italian countryside because of their limited excuses.
Captain, you're forgetting yourself.
Billy and Hannibal are in a briefing room. Colonel Davis comes in. He marches to the front of the room.
Take your seats, gentlemen.
Son of a bitch. Colonel's gone full bird.
I have good news, and I have not so good news. The good news. We have been reassigned to the European theater. We're going to Italy.
I see some action, huh?
However, there will be some changes. Once in Italy, the 99th Pursuit Squadron will be joined by three new squadrons from Tuskegee. The 100th, 301st, and 302nd Fighter Squadrons will now comprise the 332nd Fighter Group.
They're all colored units. We're going to be segregated again.
In addition, our mission has changed from dive bombing to bomber escort.
Why has our mission changed, sir? I mean, why all of a sudden are we chaperones?
The Flying Fortresses are taking heavy losses and need effective cover.
Sir, with all due respect, why don't they let the white pilots cover them?
I don't have time to lay it all out for you. I will say this. This entire unit came within a hillbilly's heartbeat of going home. And if certain people had their way, coming back carrying rifles, if we came back at all.
Night, a U.S. Army truck pulls up at Ramitelli Air Base, Italy. Black airmen, including Billy and Hannibal, get out of the truck carrying kit bags.
Say, you fellas with the 99th?
Yeah.
Reggie Miller, 332nd.
Hannibal Lee, nice to meet you. This is Billy Roberts.
They shake hands.
Call me Train.
Hey, Train. Well, fellas, welcome to Ramitelli. Hey, right this way.
You mean Ramadamtelli?
The next morning, all is hustle and bustle on the base. Aircrew wander about between planes, tents, and huts. A jeep pulls up beside Hannibal, and he laughs when he sees it's being driven by tank.
It's about time you showed up, Lieutenant. I thought I shook you in North Africa.
Not a chance, sir.
Damn, it's good to see you, Tank.
Good to see you, sir. Remind me, I have something I want to show you later.
All right. See you out on the flight.
Take care, sir.
Colonel Davis comes over to Hannibal.
Lieutenant Lee.
Sir.
I'm dependent upon you and the others in the 99th to show some guidance, some leadership. These kids are straight out of Tuskegee and still saying their prayers at night. So do us all a favor and give them some help. Roger.
They both salute.
By the way, Colonel, I still do.
Still do what, Lieutenant?
Still say my prayers at night.
Unamused, the colonel marches off. Later, Hannibal is riding across the base in a jeep that Tank is driving.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, sir!
They approach some planes.
Brand new Mustangs?
Yes, sir!
They pull up beside the three aircraft and get out of the jeep.
275 gallons with drop tanks. You can ride these ponies 1,000 miles and back. 650 calibers in the wings, and she can haul 2 1,000-pounders. You don't bring me back some swastikas with all this? Just keep flying right on back to Octopus, Iowa.
Otumwa. Otumwa. What's this?
New signature from the group. Do you like it?
A red stripe.
It ain't loud enough. It ain't the whole goddamn tail of that tank.
Yes, sir, Lieutenant.
We are less than 90 minutes from the German border, and they know we're here. Those of you wondering about seeing action, you got your wish.
The 33rd and 324th regularly tangle with the Jerrys.
Billy puts his hand up.
Colonel, they're flying bomber escort.
Occasionally, Lieutenant, yes.
They're doing it occasionally. We have the honor of doing it full time.
That's right, Lieutenant. Consider it an honor. Bomber losses to enemy action are unacceptably high. Yesterday's run into Germany cost them 65 of 200 bombers. That's one in three, gentlemen. 600 men killed or missing. You want to make your mark? Here's a chance.
Hannibal looks at Billy, who raises his eyebrows. Hannibal walks over to his new Mustang, which now has its entire tail fin painted red. He zips up his sheepskin flying jacket and looks over at Billy, who's already in the cockpit of his plane. Hannibal walks around the wing of his plane and goes over to Tank, who's waiting by the propeller. He hands Tank his officer's cap. Billy and Hannibal are airborne and talk over their radios.
How do you like this, girls? All dressed up and no dates.
Yeah, I think we've been stood up. Not a B-17 in sight.
This is the rendezvous point. They must have been grounded by bad weather.
He's coming back around! Hey, Iowa, turn to channel 8.
All right, Medina, come on, let's get him! Take him off!
Sounds like one of ours.
Must be stragglers.
Let's go give him a hand.
Roger that.
Billy gives the thumbs up. A lone flying fortress is being harassed by an enemy fighter. One of the bomber's gunners opens fire.
Hang on.
Billy and Hannibal swoop in to counterattack. The Messerschmitt banks left.
Keep your shirt on. I got him. I got him.
Hannibal gets on the Messerschmitt's tail.
Moment of truth, Jerry. We live in the air. We die by fire.
The Messerschmitt bursts into flames.
Say goodbye, Mr. Kraut. Give my regards to the Fuhrer.
Your Mustang starboard side. Come on, Vance.
Who are they?
I don't know. Ringtail 51, this is Fortress 320. Come in, over. Nothing. I can't raise them. They must be on a separate frequency or something.
You get any kind of ID?
Nothing I recognize.
I tell you, we need to find out who those boys are.
The bomber crew report to their CO.
Red tails, huh?
Yeah.
No fighter group I know carries those markings.
Well, I gotta find them. I got a bottle of whiskey for both of them for saving our asses.
Hey, you might try Ramitelli. We're getting new escort assignments. They might be one of them.
All right, I'll check it out.
Poor slob did everything but pull the trigger for me.
On that last kill, took that son of a bitch out from 1,000 yards.
Hey, so what you use to get him off? You split S climbing turns?
No. Walter people special. You make it up as you go along.
The bomber pilots drive up.
Hey, how you guys doing? Listen, we're B-17 bomb group based at Foggia, and we're looking for the pilots who were up at Pleven yesterday.
Hannibal smiles.
We want to say thanks. A couple of those guys saved our asses.
Don't mention it.
So where are they?
Where's who?
Pilots, boy. Came up here to see pilots.
You're looking at them.
The bomber pilots are astonished.
Lieutenant Lee, Lieutenant Roberts.
How are you?
We appreciate your thanks.
This whole base is colored?
Colored, yes. Lock, stock, and pilot.
Hannibal nods. The bomber pilots look around the base at the black personnel.
Let's get out of here, Lieutenant.
Hannibal and Billy grin as they walk off. The lieutenant looks at his captain.
What?
This isn't right. Let's get out of here.
What's not right? He just said.
I don't give a shit what he said. Them pilots was niggers. Niggers weren't flying them planes today.
Let's move it out.
Yes, sir.
They drive off. That evening.
You saved their asses, and they got the nerve to be insulted. Makes you want to hurt somebody.
Billy smiles and looks at Hannibal.
What are you writing?
My folks.
This boy mails a letter to his folks every night.
I'm not mailing this one, Train. You are.
Oh, no. I am not mailing that letter. If you die, you mail it yourself.
You'll mail it just like I'll mail yours.
Well, you won't have to worry about me asking. Writing them one of those letters is like expecting to die.
No one expects to die.
Hannibal looks at another airman with them.
My father had a friend who fought in the First World War. He's one of the first colored soldiers in France. This man had so many medals, he came home decorated like a Christmas tree. He disappeared one night. They found him in Georgia, lynched in his uniform.
Hannibal and Billy exchange a look. Hannibal looks up at the night sky and sighs.
Why would you want to fly for a country that thanks you by lynching you?
Hannibal raises his eyebrows and pushes his cap back on his head.
I like the feeling of respect we get, especially from colored folks. Like, me and Cappy came upon them fellas in the chain gang back at training in Tuskegee. I even got some satisfaction out of the look on those white fellas' faces today when they found out it was us that saved their tails.
Billy smiles. The other man doesn't look so sure. At the bomber base, the captain walks over to his lieutenant, who's sitting in a jeep.
Captain, that colored outfit, 332nd, HQ confirmed they were the boys that helped us at Plevin, and we weren't even their assignment.
Lieutenant, let me give you a little sociology lesson. I think being from California and all, you might be a little bit confused. Now, I'm a Texas boy. I grew up with niggers. I was around them every day. Hell, in Lubbock, you can't throw a rock without hitting one. Now, I know how they think, and I know how they live, and I can tell you with complete certainty what they are and are not capable of.
And you don't think they could fly them planes, sir?
Vance, if they were flying them planes, and that is one hell of a big if, then what happened up there was a fluke. So forget about it.
The lieutenant looks troubled.
You know, Train, I'm getting tired of these long missions where we get stuck out here by our lonesome.
I'm low on fuel. I say we should head back.
Hannibal spots a ship down below.
Wait a second. What is that?
Where?
Down below. Looks like a German destroyer.
Billy looks at it and shakes his head.
Ain't one of ours!
Train, you thinking what I'm thinking?
Always!
Straighten up!
Fly right!
They lower their goggles over their eyes and dive.
All right, here we go. You're on the moon! Cool down, Papa. Cool down, Papa. Don't you blow your top.
They pepper the ship with bullets.
Attaboy.
Back at the base, the footage of the attack is shown to the other pilots. The ship's magazine is hit and it explodes. Hannibal gets up and leaves the screening. Billy stares after him. Billy finds Hannibal pouring a glass of wine in his quarters.
Hey, Iowa. You're in the spotlight in there, man. You sunk a damn destroyer. People get medals for doing that shit.
You're gonna stand there and tell me you think they're gonna give you or me or anybody else on this base a medal for doing anything right.
Billy looks down.
Okay. All right, so you won't get a medal. Bottom line is, we know what you did. We know it was a lucky shot. But it's still one destroyer down.
Billy pours himself a glass of wine. The next day, they're back in the air, as are the bomber captain and his lieutenant. The bomber crew see the Mustangs arrive as their escort.
See our escort? Sure do. And they're right on time.
Enemy flak explodes in the air ahead of the bombers.
They know we're here.
They're gonna give us their best shot, but we gotta get these guys to Brenner Pass.
Brenner Pass it back.
Hannibal looks up and spots the enemy.
Heads up! 7 ME-109s at 1 o'clock.
The 109s swoop in.
I'll take the leader.
Roger that. Straighten up.
Fly right.
Starboard wing's gunner almost got him in my sights.
Keep your mind on the game.
12 miles to target.
It's off safe. Off station. Check in. Tail gunner, come up.
Come on, baby. Make it easy for me. Bring it around. That's it.
Billy chases a 109.
You shake that buzzer down, boy!
Roger that!
Billy opens fire. He hits the 109.
Watch out now! I got him!
Bomb doors open!
Target up! Target up!
The bombers are flying over an urban area.
Got another one trying to sneak over the top, Iowa!
Ground him!
Hannibal pulls back on his joystick and moves to intercept the 109. He closes in on the enemy plane's tail.
Come on, baby, come on!
Billy opens fire.
That's it, I got you! I got you!
The Messerschmitt bursts into flames.
That's two, Iowa!
The bombers are strafed by flak.
2 miles to target!
On your six!
A Messerschmitt closes in on Billy and opens fire.
Bombs away!
Bombs away!
Bombs away.
I got a train!
Get this guy off me! I won't get him off me!
The bombers drop their ordnance.
I'm coming! I'm coming!
The bombs erupt as they hit the ground below. The Messerschmitt sprays Billy's plane with cannon fire. Billy takes a bullet.
Billy!
With his engine smoking, Billy looks fearfully at his injury.
No, Billy, no!
Hannibal moves in behind the Messerschmitt, chasing Billy.
I'm here, train. I'm right behind him, buddy!
Hannibal takes off his goggles.
Go straight to hell, you son of a bitch!
The Messerschmitt's destroyed.
Good hit! Good hit!
Train, can you hear me? Can you hear me, train?
I got two more, Iowa!
I saw you did good, train. Now come on! You gotta go back. The bombers are back. Come
you
on!
Climb! No! You gotta climb to them, Iowa! You gotta climb to them!
Straighten up and fly right, boy. You can make it!
Injured and with his aircraft damaged, Billy doesn't look confident. Hannibal sweats heavily.
Billy! Train!
We are heroes of the night. Tell the exit, fight! Fight, 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 fighting night and night. Down in flames they go! Fighting men of 99 cents. Stand up below.
Aboard the bomber, the captain and lieutenant listen grimly. Billy's plane nosedives towards the earth. As the ground rushes up to meet him, blood dribbles from Billy's mouth. His plane smashes into the ground. In his cockpit, Hannibal wrestles with his emotions and fights back tears. He pulls back on his joystick and puts his mask back on. He moves into a position close to one of the bombers.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up.
Back at base, Hannibal wanders along smoking a cigarette. He looks over at some other pilots, flicking through a copy of Yank magazine. As he stares at them, he has a flashback to Billy on the train where they first met.
Billy Roberts, on the block they call me Train. As an A-train, you know, quickest way to Harlem.
He remembers Billy in a briefing and laughing and joking.
I'll take some smokes. All
right. Hannibal remembers Walter.
Peoples, Walter Derrick, the third, aeronautical engineer.
Walter gives a thumbs up.
Lewis Johns, English literature.
Lewis smokes and smiles.
Roy Jonas Cammy, art history.
A flashback to Colonel Rogers awarding Leroy his wings. Leroy laughs at a joke. In the present, Hannibal looks up at a Mustang flying overhead. He looks around the base and then wanders into the tent that's acting as his quarters. He sits down on his camp bed, then lies down and rests his head on his pillow. He wipes a tear from his cheek. The bomber crews are in a briefing, including the captain and lieutenant, that Hannibal and Billy saved.
Colonel, just how bad will the 88s be?
They'll be attacking Berlin, son. Very hard of Germany. Every anti-aircraft gun in the region will be trying to stop you. Then they'll be the fighters.
They'll look somber.
Now, gentlemen, on this one, we need every load placed on the target. We may not have a second chance.
Sir?
Yes?
Who's flying cover?
51st will escort your wing, Lieutenant. Now, any more questions? If not, good luck.
Sir, why the change? How come our escort was changed from the 332nd to the 51st?
Logistics, Captain. Is that a problem?
No, sir, no problem.
Good. Have a good mission.
Sir.
Sir. You got a point to make, Captain? I suggest you get on with it. Speak up, Captain. We got a mission to run here.
Yes, sir. Well, I got men whose lives are my responsibility up there, sir. And I want the 332nd as our escort.
The colored boys?
The captain glances at his lieutenant and nods.
That's right, sir. I looked into it, and since they've been escorting bombers, they haven't lost one to enemy action, sir. Not a single ship. And if it's all the same to you, I want the 332nd to take me to Berlin and back.
The lieutenant smiles. The rest of the crews look thoughtful. The colonel nods.
All right, Captain. I'll take it under advisement.
Ribbons pinned on a map show the flight paths to Berlin. Hannibal sits waiting in Colonel Davis's office. The colonel comes in and walks over to his desk. Hannibal gets to his feet and stands at attention as Davis sits down.
At ease?
Hannibal relaxes.
You're up awfully early today.
I haven't gotten much sleep, sir.
Davis looks thoughtful and nods.
We're all going to miss him, Hannibal. The really sad thing is he's going to miss this.
Davis hands Hannibal a jewelry box. Hannibal takes it and opens it. A medal is inside.
Distinguished Flying Cross for taking out the destroyer. General Crow will be here next week to officially present it to you. There's something else.
He opens the desk drawer and takes out a smaller box. He hands it to Hannibal. Hannibal opens it and finds it contains officer's pips.
Sir.
Congratulations. Captain Lee.
They shake hands.
The word's in about our next mission.
He He takes a cover off a blackboard.
Berlin. And we weren't assigned.
He offers Hannibal a cigarette.
We were requested.
Colonel Davis lights Hannibal's cigarette. Hannibal takes a drag and nods. He and Davis share a look, then Hannibal turns and goes. He pauses in the doorway and looks back at Davis, then steps outside, closing the door behind him. American bombers and their fighter escorts fly towards Berlin. Hannibal is amongst them. The 15th Air Force delivered a massive and successful raid on Berlin. The 332nd shot down three German jet fighters, the first jet planes of the war. The planes leave vapor trails behind them. The bombers drop their bombs. Mustangs jettison their drop tanks as they fly on. Black and white stills of the men of the 332nd. Some sitting on their aircraft, some walking across a runway. Others line up for a photo in front of some buildings. Close-ups of the faces of the men. Between May 1943 and June 1945, 450 Tuskegee Airmen were awarded more than 850 medals. 66 Tuskegee Airmen died in battle. The 332nd Fighter Group never lost a single bomber to enemy action. ITFC audio description by John Walskill.